You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
Gentlemen, start your engine!
Triangle Tire, Tires for Life presents Dave's Corner Garage. The following is a paid program. Opinions on the show are always expressed with a certain joie de vivre. Please consult a doctor before listening, as laughter can be infectious. Buckle in, everyone. It's time to get this show on the road. Time for Dave's Corner Garage, your Saturday morning joyride on Zoomer Radio. Got a car query? Call now, 416-360-0740, or toll free at 1-866-740-4740.
Yee-haw! Good morning, everybody. Brian, take it away.
Good morning, Al. That was pretty serious. You got me okay there.
I do. Now, you sound like you're outside now.
I am outside. There's maybe a little bit of noise here. I'm in Southern California today.
Well, that's good, and hopefully it's not raining, because I guess you got the window open.
Well, yeah, I'm sitting outside. I got rained on the other day. You know, they say go to San Diego. It never rains in San Diego. Well, it seems like San Diego got 3 years worth of rain in a single day.
Oh, actually, I was watching a show the other day, and what was it on? I forgot what it was, but it took place in Los Angeles, and it was two guys trying to buy cars from each other, or actually steal cars from each other, and the guy said, "Why don't you come over to my lot because it's not raining?" He said, "You're only three blocks away from me." He said, "Well, that's the way it is in Los Angeles, you know."
It can be, you know, especially when you're adjacent to the mountains. It's a funny thing here, but it's a beautiful day. I got a 700 horsepower sitting not so far from me, so I'm gonna drive it a little bit and have some fun.
What kind of car is it?
Well, right now I've got an AMG, mm-hmm. But it's called an EQE. So that's Mercedes' new electric, but it's the AMG version.
They've already, it's weird. I mean, if they've just come out with it and they've got a AMG it already?
Well, you know, of course. So, you know, it's got $6,000 carbon ceramic brakes and, you know, a $3,000 flat paint finish. But the best part of it is that it's basically 700 horsepower.
Well, you know what? We've got some great guests on board today. We've got Brad Tao, who's the shop manager at European Automotive. A shop that specializes in high-end cars. I mean, they do everybody's regular maintenance too, but if you got a Ferrari, and the good news was, we were talking in the green room prior, is that he can get Tesla parts. So if you got a Tesla and you need them fixed, you'd be able to get in touch with him. We've got Alex. You know more about auctions. What's Alex all about?
Yeah, Alex Haydenluck is the owner and founder of Formula Auctions. It's formulaauctions.com. And, you know, the collector car auction space is very busy, and it's super popular right now with, you know, a lot of players. And Alex has got a different take on online auctions. So it's going to be interesting to talk to him.
You know, but people, a lot of times they'll have reserve where, you know, it's like, I'm not going to sell it unless I get this much money. Like, couldn't you go on a regular, you know, YouTube channel, or not YouTube, but internet channel, and put your car up on a classified ad that way? What difference would there
sure.
be?
Well, you know, the reasons auction exists is because they often play to basic human psychology.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, particularly with the biggest player in the collector car auction space being Bring a Trailer, that we in the car enthusiast world, we talk about the Bring a Trailer premium, and Bring a Trailer tends to get buyers who overpay for collector cars. So it's an interesting thing, and it's great. You know, it's great if you're selling. Mm-hmm. But not so great if you want to buy a car on that particular platform, because prices tend to be very high. But with With Formula Auctions, they've got a different approach, and you know they're growing as we'll learn. They're doing some interesting things, and you know it's I suspect because Formula Auctions is a little bit smaller, they're a little bit more flexible and can make a better connection between buyers and sellers.
You know, that whole idea about bringing a trailer, when I saw that, I went, oh, so you mean it doesn't run?
That's exactly it. But it sure does look good.
Yeah. I thought, if I have to bring a trailer, like, how do I know that anything is going to work at all? But we'll talk about that, because most of his cars are in Canada anyways, and if it's not far away, you could go look at it. So it's not like you're buying a pig in a poke.
Exactly. And, you know, that's the best way to deal with auctions, but that and being forthright about it, so
right.
that everybody has full disclosure.
All right. And then, of course, we've got Teresa DeFelice from CAA, and it's that time of year. I don't know if they coincide with the spring, which is the worst time of year for potholes anyways, but they're going to be talking about Canada's worst roads.
And you know what? The road I have to cross daily when I'm in Toronto is Eglinton, and it's still bad. So I can't wait to see how it's going to stack up.
Well, of course, everybody's going to vote for it. But you know, there is a world outside of Toronto. Even though I am a Torontonian, there's lots of other places that have really crappy roads, and enough damaged wheels and blown out tires to prove it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it's not just Toronto, and all across the country. Although I have to say, when I was on Vancouver Island,
mm-hmm.
the roads across the island were incredibly well maintained.
Well, it doesn't. They don't have the ice and snow that we have here.
Well, I got caught in a blizzard when I was there, so they have a little. But no, it's not the same as here. That's for sure.
All right, Brian, we got to take a break, and afterwards it'll be Brian and myself talking about Southern California and how it doesn't rain. Well, on one side of the street, perhaps on the other. This is Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be right back. All right, we're back. My name is Alan Gelman, and with me is Brian Max, who's in sunny California. We got some sun here in Toronto, but not quite the same temperature. How's things out there?
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's convertible weather. Shout out to my uncle Stan who lives down here, because he's got my Aston Martin convertible sitting in his driveway that I'm going to drive this afternoon.
Oh, is that brand new, that car?
It's a couple years old, so it's the Aston Martin DBS Volante, they call it. That's Aston Martin speak for convertible. It's a twin turbo V12 under the hood, and the one they sent me is bright red. It's gorgeous.
Wow, that must be really fast.
Another 700 horsepower car. Yeah, that's how things work down here. But yeah, the sun's out, and I'm taking it to the mountains. But in this week's automotive news,
yes.
I learned something. GM is going to start phasing out in 2024 Apple CarPlay and Android Auto. So if you use those systems and like them, like I do, I love my Apple CarPlay. Starting in 2024 with the new Blazer EV, they're going to have a custom Google-based system that will not have Apple CarPlay as you know it, and certainly not Android Auto. It's going to be embedded in the car. And you know, this is kind of the result of the war that car makers have been fighting against mobile devices.
Well, but
go ahead, Al.
But at the same time, will it not have to do all the same tricks that the other one does? Otherwise... You know, so sorry. Now you say the war against them. So you mean to say that we're going to take control so that you can't do certain things when you're driving rather than parked?
No, they actually want to control the data.
Uh-huh.
So right now, car makers, you know, they're a little annoyed or a little miffed that the phone makers
mm-hmm.
are controlling the data in and out of the car. And they want to do that. So GM's answer for this is building their own system that is fully connected. It will replace all the functions of Apple CarPlay and Android Auto.
Okay, or everybody else could just get TikTok, and then everybody's got everybody's data, right?
Well, you know what? People using mobile devices while they're driving down here in California is probably worse than at home in Toronto.
You know what? I don't know how much worse it can be, because every time I look to the side or see somebody who's hasn't advanced when the light changed, you know right away what they're doing.
Oh, that's for sure, and it's all over the place here. It when I drive here, I actually take extra caution. I don't trust drivers in Southern California. It's really bad.
Well, we got bad ones here. Apparently, you were talking earlier about some big accident that happened, and somebody was, you know, at fault when they really shouldn't have been.
Well, you know, this is the thing. So let me describe the scenario very quickly. A friend of mine's daughter was driving north of the city, two-lane road, and turn signal on to make a legal left turn. Mm-hmm. And as she's making this legal left turn that she signaled, the gentleman behind her went around to pass her and basically T-boned her in the left side of the car. And, you know, they go to the collision reporting center or whatever. And then my pal is dealing with his insurance adjuster. And his insurance adjuster says, yep, your daughter's 50% at fault.
What?
And he said, what?
Of course, because she was, you know, she wasn't hit by a car that was coming down, that she was in their lane. She was standing still while some other crazy person hit her from behind. How does she have any responsibility?
Precisely. And that's what I thought, too. So I said to my pal, well, call our friend PC Sean Shapiro. Mm-hmm. And that's what he did. And Sean's response is this. You ready for this?
Go ahead.
According to Ontario law, if you are making a left turn, you're always at a minimum of 50% fault. Regardless of what the other driver did, no matter how ridiculous it is, you're always a minimum of 50% at fault under Ontario law.
Oh, that's crazy. I wonder if civilly they could try to sue it back, but they may just say, well, the law is the law and we can't go around that. You know, and I got to say, you know, Sean, our friend Sean Shapiro and Carrie Schmidt from the OPP, you know, they always try to do their best but I always miss the visibility. You know, I don't see the cars out there, because I remember growing up as a teenager, you know, you'd always see that yellow thing and you'd go, oh my God, I better drive normal. Okay. But I'm told by both of these policemen that, no, we want to blend in so that we actually catch people doing bad stuff, because if they knew we were there, they wouldn't do it. But I see the most ridiculous things that people do that are so crazy. You know, the guys who get in the left-hand lane, when they're not turning left, you know, they're going to be going straight. But hopefully they have a heavier foot on their gas pedal to get ahead before I do. Just crazy stuff that years ago, you know, you would have got thrown in the slammer. Anyway,
right. We
got to take a break. We're going to be back with Alex and find out all about the auction business right after this break. This is Dave's Corner Garage. Hang on, Brian. Look out for the birds. All right, we're back. My name is Alan Gelman, and Brian Max is out there in California, and we've got Alex Haydenluck on the phone, who runs a specialty auction. Alex, how are you?
Hey, good guys. Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. So what's the formula?
Well, we're obviously a Canadian car auction platform. We list mainly Canadian cars. We did just list our first U.S. car, but we're based in Canada. We've built a great community of Canadian buyers and sellers. We've listed plenty of cars that, you know, have sold for more than on other auction sites. Something we offer that, you know, other sites don't is we really help that, you know, Canadian seller get exposure to the U.S. buyers, promise those U.S. buyers that we'll help them with transport, import, and brokering everything.
Brian?
Yeah, I'm on the site right now, Alex, and you've got some great stuff. You know, what things that are up my alley straight off the top, there's a 2006 Subaru WRX STI. That is my jam right there. What a lovely car. So when it comes to sellers submitting information to the site, how does that work for them, and then how do you vet the information they're providing?
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously we're only going to accept the cars that we think people would want to bid over, things that are in good demand. But as for verifying information, you know, we look over, you know, usually you need 30 to 40 plus pictures And then we send, you know, sellers a list of comprehensive questions. We'll review the information. We'll verify that, you know, the person that's selling the car is indeed who they say they are. It's registered in their name, you know, looking at the registration, or ownership documents, everything, and we'll review it as a package. And then either approve it or, you know, request some more information if need be.
Now, if people sort of question it, now I saw a couple vehicles there that were like 30 years old and had 400 kilometers on them, and I'm thinking, yeah, really? Okay, seriously?
Yeah.
It could actually be the truth, but people have the opportunity, especially, you know, if you're in Southern Ontario and you're going to make this big expenditure, I think I'd be calling the seller and saying, can we arrange to get together?
For sure. You know, one of the things that people think about online auctions or even auctions in person is that, you know, you're very limited for the amount of information that you're allowed to see. However, we totally recommend people reaching out to the sellers, going and seeing the car, you know, getting a pulse on it in person, touching it, feeling it before placing your bid online. It's 100% encouraged. And, you know, everybody feels more comfortable after they've seen a car in person. So it's absolutely something we recommend.
Brian, have you ever bought a car online that way?
No, you know, it's not, you know, the things that I do all involve race cars. So, I'm, you know, because I'm a dumb racing driver. But a bunch of my friends have bought and sold. And Alex, you know, we know about that, you know, the 800-pound gorilla in the collector car auction space. And a friend of mine had a very interesting car to sell, a 430 Spider manual. And when he submitted it to the big online auction place, they wanted to mandate a reserve and an extremely low reserve.
Yeah, 100%. You know, one thing that lots of people have come to us and said is, you know, with these, you know, these big gorillas in the room and in the marketplace, they basically can act like a bully. You know, I don't want to throw shade, but they really can. They can tell you basically, listen, it's our way or the highway. You can have this reserve or see you later. Good luck on Craigslist type thing. So it's unfortunate. Obviously, it's a business. So if they're going to list a car, they want to make sure that it sells. But at the same time, you know, lots of people get burnt, and especially Canadians, because they know that, you know, Canadians' car typically sell for less. So even, you know, if you're a Canadian, they're going to give you even lower reserve options. So it's unfortunate. And we're going to look at not only what the car is worth, but we're going to give you a fair reserve, a fair price for the car. We're not going to be a bully and say, you know, take it or leave it type thing.
Now, if you accept the listing and the car doesn't sell, there's no cost. There's no fee, is there?
There's no fee. There's no fee to list. There's no fee to sell. There's no commission. And we also have like a buy now and make an offer section. So if your car doesn't sell in the auction period, you can roll it into the buy now section. We can still try and work with your buyers, work with the bidders, and hopefully at the end of the day come to a fair solution for everyone.
All right. And if somebody has a car they think that they want to try to sell that way, how do they do it?
Yeah, so basically all you'd have to do is just go to the site, fill in a short form, just basically basic details on the car, upload a couple pictures, and then submit it. We'll review it. We'll get in contact with you. If you need proper pictures done, if you're not handy with a camera, which not many people are, we can arrange a professional photographer to come out to you, get proper pictures of it. I mean, you only sell your car once, right? So if you're going to do it, you may as well do it the right way.
Hey, Brian, there's a side job for you. You take great pictures.
Some days I do, not all the time, but, you know, thankfully I'm better with a camera than I am with, you know, musical instruments also.
Oh, so the GoPro is the name of the camera, not you.
Yeah, exactly. Alex, what's been the most interesting car you've had on auction so far?
Interesting car. You know, we had a first thing that comes to mind is an International Harvester Lodestar. Is an 1800 that had a diesel engine installed, and it had like semi truck wheels on it. It actually had an air start, which was preloaded by this air canister that you could fill up with a compressor. It was a really cool rig. I definitely encourage anybody who wants to check something like that out to just search International on the site. You can take a look at it. It's a pretty sweet rig.
All right, Alex, enough hot air. Sorry. That's a dad joke. All right, yeah. Check out formulaauctions.com if you got something hot or if you want to buy something. Alex will be happy to take care of you. Alex, thanks for joining in.
Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, have a great weekend. All right, after the break, we're going to find out, well, you probably know what the worst roads are, well, in your neighborhood anyways, but let's find out that there's more to life than just Toronto City. Teresa Feliz will be here. Canada's Worst Roads, coming up next.
Welcome back to Dave's Corner Garage. I'm Brian Bax, not in studio, but Alan Gelman's in studio. And joining us on the line is Teresa DeFelice from CAA to talk about the annual Worst Roads campaign. Teresa, how are you?
I'm good, thanks.
20 years this has been going on, and there's still potholes. Why?
Well, the campaign is successful in getting roads fixed, but, you know, fixing roads is a bigger beast than this.
And we certainly see more damage. I think if we had to look at the dollar figure, it's probably gone up instead of down. And I'm not criticizing the program. I'm criticizing the manufacturers for making cars that have tires that are so skinny and putting aluminum wheels on everything, which look great and perform good, but they don't perform well when the road is undulated.
You know, it's true. You know, whether you're holding onto your car for longer because we're in difficult economic times and cars are hard to get your hands on these days if you're wanting to switch it up, or whether you're driving a new model. You know, we did a survey in January, at the end of January this year, of CA members, and we asked about, you know, how many people have experienced damage due to bad roads. And 45% of people have shared that they have experienced damage due to bad roads. And that's up 4% from last year. The other startling fact with that is people are paying, you know, having to pay out of pocket, right? So they're not filing a claim or going through their auto insurance. 85% of those people paid out of pocket to fix their car, which can go anywhere from, you know, a few hundred dollars to thousands of dollars, depending on the make or model of your vehicle.
Exactly. And if you've got a deductible, it's couple thousand dollars anyways, so you might as well just pay it. You know, it really doesn't pay. But I've seen it just recently, actually. I just had a car I put on 4 new tires and drove it, and it drove great. And I thought, you know what, just to be on the safe side, let's get the alignment check. And it was out substantially in the rear, and we wouldn't have known, you know, just from driving it. And that would have worn out those tires. So in the end, that $150 you spent on alignment, you know, makes it feel that much better. But you got bad roads everywhere, and we're not just talking Toronto, obviously, in Sarnia and Prince Edward County. But who calls in the most to complain, and of which road?
Yeah, so I mean, we get people from all over Ontario. That it's a top 10 list that we will reveal at the end of May for all of Ontario, plus we do the top 5 in 10 regions across the province, because you know, some communities are a little bit smaller than Toronto.
Sure.
And so we want to make sure they have their voice. Predominantly, the votes that come in or the ones that make it to the top of the list predominantly tend to be for poor road surface, like potholes. Mm-hmm. But we do get some that are congestion related. And people call, you know, vote on the website, and they talk about lack of signage, poor design, lack of sidewalks or cycling infrastructure. So it's open to anyone, no matter how you get around, you know, on foot, on a bus, or everything in between.
Yeah, actually, my daughter's stroller just got a flat tire, and we had to find a tube, you know, but we did. It was good. But you're right. There's other vehicles on the road, especially now. You've got e-bikes, you've got scooters, you've got all these things, and especially, you know, you see these guys on scooters. You hit a pothole, you're done. You know, it's not like you just lose the wheel; you lose yourself.
Yes, and, you know, there's all kinds of transformation happening. They're being used for food delivery, so, you know, your food could get jostled about as well.
Exactly. Brian, what's the roads like where you are?
Well, today in Southern California, I'm going to some great roads, and I don't tell anybody where they are because I like keeping that to myself. But they're beautiful, top of a mountain range, and it's gorgeous, and they have adult speed limits in California too, so that's always fun. Teresa, I was in I was on Vancouver Island recently, and I did drive through a blizzard, but
all of the roads there were just beautiful, and I hadn't really spent a lot of time driving there, but for me, that's one of the best sets of driving roads. And the road surface was generally good, and they don't have the weather that we do in Ontario, but they're Eglinton's getting better, but because I cross it every day, Eglinton is still pretty bad, and it's like a living organism. The pothole locations change every single day.
Yeah, we've talked about Eglinton before, and the challenge, it's on the list every year for the last few years, in particular as it's been connected to the transit project there. So, you had lane closures, very little room to maneuver. It carries, thousands and thousands of vehicles a day. So it's been pretty rough over the last 2 years. The city has tried to fill in some of the major potholes. They have opened up some of the lanes, and they've done some repaving in certain sections to try and make it better. But I can tell you from, our behind-the-scenes look, where Eglinton may be trending to be on the list again this year.
Well, I guess for the most part, people know what's going on. I mean, they know that they're building the subway underneath the ground, and that is why it's going to have to get torn up a lot. Generally speaking, if I'm driving, I know to avoid Eglinton. Not to blame the city for that. The work has to get done, right?
It's true. And again, according, we did this survey not too long ago, and it's some really interesting things that happen, because we're exploring people's behavior as a result of the roads that they're experiencing. So, you've got 66% of respondents said, they're obviously slowing down for a bad spot. And 66, same with swerving. So, you're driving, you see someone swerve. It's not like you think, oh, they're doing something that they shouldn't be doing in the car. Becomes a pretty good indicator. There's a spot in the road that you want to avoid driving over. But then the other thing that's coming up on the list quite high is people are avoiding those roads altogether. And so they're driving down other streets or smaller, bypasses in different communities to get to the highway. Which could be frustrating for residents when all of a sudden traffic goes up in their communities because people are avoiding a road that they don't want to drive on because it's just so bad.
Oh, that's the downside.
It's absolutely true. My street is a side street, not too far from Eglinton, and we see a lot more traffic there now than ever before for those reasons.
Yeah, absolutely. It's happening on a regular basis, it sounds like, from what people are telling us.
Well, I guess, if Eglinton's bad, then obviously you're going to slow down. And if you don't, you get what you kind of deserve. But the problem is that, of course, potholes aren't necessarily announced. And you could be on, Woodbine or anywhere else going fast. And all of a sudden there's a pothole there and you have no pre-warning at all, eh?
It's potholes, it's sunken sewer grates, or the sewer is raised because the pavement around it has kind of crumbled and sunk, and so those become obstructions almost on your route to work, it is, or wherever you're going. So it is troubling in terms of getting dedicated funding, getting those roads fixed. Where part of this campaign doesn't just stop with voting for the worst roads and then we reveal a list. If we take that list and the votes that have come in, we talk to the municipalities where we're getting those feedback from their constituents. And we've always, talked to senior levels of government about committed and permanent funding available to municipalities in order to deal with the infrastructure that they're responsible for.
Cool. So the noisiest wheel gets the grease. And in this case, the deepest pothole gets to get fixed.
Yeah, well, and the success of the campaign is, even last year, I think we talked about Hamilton Street, Barton Street East. That project wasn't slated to be tendered out until 2025. And City Council, after we revealed it being the number one on the list, came out and started work in 2022 with a huge multi-million-dollar investment. It is, as I said, a big project. It's going to take a few years because they're doing sewers underneath and everything, but they heard from their constituents and they decided to act a few years sooner than they originally had planned for.
And how do people, inform the government or inform you where that bad pothole is?
Yes, you can go to caaworstroads.com and nominate your worst road or as many worst roads as you like, and you have until April 21st to do so.
Do you have to measure how deep it is and take pictures?
No, we do say if you have pictures, you can upload them, but just a reminder, don't vote or take pictures while you're driving.
and don't step into live traffic either.
Exactly, exactly. We want everybody to be safe. You know, take a mental note of it. Come to the website, vote for your worst road. If it happens to be a place where you can take a picture and it's safe to do so, you can upload your photo on the website on caaworstroads.com as well.
You know, Brian, if you want to claim it or go to the city and get money back, you got to do all those things, eh?
That's true. I mean, I did that years ago. It was a long time ago, but I hit a pothole and made a claim, and that was completely paid out.
Get out of here.
For real, true story.
Wow. So you mean you had the little ruler and you measured how deep it was and you timestamped the picture because it had to be within a certain period of time and nobody could have had to call in. I saw the rules. You had to be a Bay Street lawyer just to figure out just to comply.
Yeah, well, I think this was before all the rules and regulations and the world was a friendlier place.
All right, Teresa, thank you very much for joining us.
Great talking to you guys. Have a good day.
All right, so again, it is caaworstroads.com. You may think they're in your neighborhood, but they're all over. So get in, and hopefully they'll make some noise and get those things fixed real quick. Speaking of fixing, if you've got a fancy European car and you want it fixed, Brad, too, will be here right after this break. This is Dave's Corner Garage.
Welcome back to Dave's Corner Garage. I'm Brian Max, not in studio, but Alan Gelman is. And on the phone joining us from Engineered Automotive is Brad Tao. Brad, how are you?
I'm good. It's European Automotive.
What did I just say?
Engineered.
It sounded good, though. I listened to Brian, and I thought maybe they thought of renaming the company or something.
No.
I'm terribly sorry. I guess a California airhead today.
All right, European autos. They need to have, well, not to be serviced necessarily by engineers, but you need to have people who are experienced. How many guys you got there that know what they're doing?
11 trucks.
And the other two have no clue, I guess, eh? But I'm bummed. That joke today. Now, what kind of cars do you guys normally service?
If it's European, we service it. From Ferrari to Audi to Volkswagen to BMW. If it's an European, even regular cars. But European is what we specialize in, for sure.
Yeah, and what they kind of are a different breed, besides the fact that, you know, if you've got a lot of money invested in one, so, for example, you've got a Ferrari or a Lamborghini or a high-end Mercedes, you know, you could have a couple hundred grand invested. You want it serviced right, eh?
Of course, 100%. Like, there's so many tools that you need to work on these cars now in terms of scanners and software and programmers and to do the coding when you're done a job. There's a lot of investment that especially the owner, Matt, has put into this business to get where we've been, for sure.
And how long have you guys been around now?
I think we're going on 6 years now.
Okay, and you've opened up a second location. I guess business is good.
Yeah, we opened up a second location in Burlington, but we are merging the two locations together in another shop that we're opening up in kind of that Burlington-Oakville line. Mm-hmm. We'll be closing both, and it's 20,000 square feet. We'll be able to do whatever you need on your car, from bodywork to repairs to TPF to detailing, you name it, we can do it one stop.
Wow, Brian?
And you guys, obviously, customers come to you looking for tuning because a lot of modern cars can really benefit from a little bit of tuning. And you know, to me, cars like the BMW M5 or a lot of McLarens, if you just, you know, dial them up a little bit, you get a lot more power, and they're all capable of handling that. What are some trends in tuning that customers are looking for now?
Platforms like the BMWs, Mercedes, the AMG C classes, the E classes, M5s, M3s, an M5 comp with a stage one, you're making an easy 150 horsepower, 180 torque on just putting a file on it with a high kill filter. Like, it's absolutely crazy what you can do with these cars these days in terms of tuning and how much is left on the table from the manufacturer, right?
All right, you know what? We got a lot of old people, and I'm an old school guy. Now, in the past, the tune-up was putting new plugs in and setting the points. You're talking about a lot of changing physical parts and tweaking electronically, correct?
Yeah, so like I kind of specialize on the back end in terms of when people call looking for the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of, you know, everything has a stage, and stages can be put in different ways, but like there's a stage one and a stage two, and when you do a stage two, it comes with a certain amount of parts that you need when you put that tune on, because the car needs it to flow, right?
So, mm-hmm. And who makes these packages?
Our tuning, we do through two companies. We use ECC, they're out in the North York area, and then we actually have another guy, JRChipTuning.ca. Just depends on the platform that we're tuning. We do it all in-house. Car comes in, we do the modifications. You leave, and your car is transformed into a totally different platform.
Brian?
I'm curious. So I've got a couple of AMG GT4 race cars. We can't tune those at all. But how does that the 4-liter twin turbo AMG motor respond to tuning?
It's one of the best motors you can probably play with. If you got the money, you can like that car already puts a smile on your face all day, every day of the week. But you just do a simple stage one with a high flow filter, and it's an absolute monster. It totally changes the car.
And sorry, go ahead, Brian.
It's an incredible motor as it is, and the way they tune it to just the way it sounds is amazing. And the platform's so good, it can handle all that power.
You do some modifications to the exhaust. I can get into those details another time, but yeah, you can make that thing sound like a V8 from the muscle car days if you really wanted to.
Question. What about the legality? Call me a bummer, but, you know, old school kind of guy. But, I mean, I've seen these hooligan BMWs on a 401 making huge noise. Do they ever get pulled over? Or is there any responsibility? Or do you tell them up front, listen, I'm going to make it sound cool, but you're on your own if you get caught?
I think we have that conversation every time with every customer, right? Especially guys with newer cars. You're voiding your warranty if you touch it, right? You can't hide that.
Uh-huh.
But in terms of like touching the catalytic converters and stuff like that, yeah, there's tons of legalities behind what you do with the car afterwards. But it's on our invoice, right? Like, it's up to you. What you do with the car is up to you, and how you perform with the car, you got to take responsibility with that stuff. But I find it's a lot of older people, older generation that are starting to get into it too, and mm-hmm. they just want to have fun with their car. They want to learn about it, and you know, they want to go faster too in terms of go to the track, Mossford, or go up to Cayuga and have some fun, but it's their daily and they want to like get a little bit more out of it as well when they get on the highway. So, yeah, I understand where you're coming from in terms of, there's guys that are kind of dumb with what they do, but there's tons of guys that are just doing to have fun for sure.
Brian?
Well, it's pretty easy to ruin a really nice road car by trying to, make it work better on the track. And, those are two very different tasks. So do you have a lot of guys, guys and gals wanting to, stiffen up their suspension and add big brakes and wider wheels without really thinking it through?
I'm the number one guy when it comes to telling you, don't do that. I don't care. I don't care how much money I can make on you. It doesn't matter to us at all. It matters to how the car is done right and when you take it. So when you're done, you go, this car's amazing. I got it done at European Automotive. Talk to them. They'll set you up. They won't let you do the dumb things. Because putting wide wheels that stick out 2 feet off the fender is not, it's not making your car better. Making your suspension bounce up and down isn't making your car better. You need it to perform in a way that it's daily drivable. You can go to the track and have some fun too as well, right? So.
All right, where's the shop? What's your contact information there?
905-825-2343 is the phone number. We're in Oakville right now, 333 Wycroft, but we will be moving to 3141 Mainway in Burlington. And you can get a hold of us at info@europeanautomotive.com.ca.
Well, I'm impressed, Brad. You sound like a good guy, and as much as you want to help people, you got enough smarts and experience to say, no, buddy, you don't want to be doing this because you're going to ruin your car. I'm having dinner tonight, actually, with someone who ruined his car like that. I don't know if he's listening, or for sure his wife would say, he ruined it. I won't even go in it now. Anyways, we got to run. This is Dave's Corner Garage. Brian and I will be right back.
Welcome back to Dave's Corner Garage. I'm Brian Max in sunny California with Alan Gelman in studio. Hey, Al, how are things going at the shop with tire changeovers from winter to spring?
It's getting busy. You know, people call and say, is it time? And I'm going, I'm not Percy Saltzman or Dave Duvall, okay? Like, and you know, so don't hang it on me. But, I mean, of course, we want to get people in because we can't do everybody the same week, okay?
What, that's not possible?
No, well, of course. As a matter of fact, I think I heard, I could be wrong, but I thought they said it was going to be like 15 degrees or something on Thursday, which I thought, whoa, the phone's going to ring off the hook, and I have to come right now. You know, so that's the way the weather goes. Besides the fact, if you do your summers early and then it does snow, which it can, it's not going to hang around long anyway. So, you know, by the next day, it'll be melted.
Exactly. I had fun on today's show. Really cool speaking with Alex Haydenluck from Formula Auctions. And are you going to put a car up for auction on a site, Al? What do you think?
I guess people do it to primarily get more money, eh?
That's it. We're talking earlier, there's that fundamental human psychological aspect to an auction, and you know, people just want to win, and they're willing to rationalize spending more money on an auction than they would otherwise.
Yeah, no, I haven't been to a full-on car auction, but I've been to other ones, and like you say, you see people get so excited, and sometimes it's just a matter of I want to beat that person's butt. I don't care. And, you know, and if you have the exposure to people who've got lots of coin, they don't look at value necessarily. It's more a matter of who's got bigger cojones, you know?
That's right. And, you know, it's obviously there's an ego thing from time to time, and then just the motivation to win. So, you know, that's what's fun about auctions, at least on the seller side. And of course, you know, with winter changing to spring, the roads are bad, and it's CAA's annual worst roads campaign. So if you've got some bad roads, go to is CAAWorstRoads.com?
It is CAAWorstRoads.com. Perfect.
Yeah, you can vote for your worst roads there. I've got my number one. And thanks for Brad Tao from European Automotive joining us as well.
You know what? I was so impressed by Brad because. Like a straight-up guy. I mean, obviously they are in business to make money, but at the end of the day, he wants happy customers. He's not going to let people do stupid stuff to their cars.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, like I was saying, it's so easy, especially if you don't have the depth of knowledge, to ruin a perfectly good road car by trying to, you know, make it more sporty. And oftentimes that doesn't work. And you know, it sounds like they know exactly what they're doing at European Automotive.
Besides, if you gangsterize your Mercedes, right, and then down the road decide you want to sell it, who's going to buy it?
That's the thing. I mean, when it goes too far, you know, that'll turn off a lot of potential buyers, that's for sure. And the Mercedes I'm driving today, it's gangsterized from the factory. It's flat black.
Now, is that a wrap or is that paint?
That's paint. That's $3,600 paint.
Oh, they pay extra money for that, eh?
Yeah, you have to pay extra to make it look worse.
Do you have to wax it?
No, you can't wax it, but what they've done, I think that, you know, the flat finishes, they're out of style. I don't know why the people still buy them, but what the manufacturers have done that offer them have, created durable finishes now. So it's a long lasting flat finish if that's your taste. And I don't think it's good taste, but, they've done a good job with that.
No, exactly. As you say, a lot of times it's just treated a week and then it gets boring after a while. You know, nobody wants that stuff, you know, that you liked it at the time. In fact, a friend of mine bought a Porsche and he said he was thinking about a flat. And I said, you know what? I think after a while you're going to get tired of it. And for sure, down the road, the next guy may not want it. And then, you know, if you do a color change on a car, it costs stupid money and it really brings down the value as well.
Yeah, it sure does. And, you know, your options are, you know, full color change. That's a lot of money. I'm sure you can wrap a car. But, you know, as someone with race cars now, it costs us, I don't know, between $6,000 and $8,000 U.S. to wrap a race car. And that's not the best quality wrap either.
Oh, that much money, is it?
Oh, it's incredibly expensive. Yeah.
Oh, wow. You know, because they wrap all the NASCAR cars now because, you know, they're all big for having the customers, the advertisers logos on them and stuff. And obviously it's faster to do it that way. But, you know, rather than having somebody actually painting or putting decals on. But they charge big bucks for that, though, eh?
Well, and in NASCAR, they actually, the bigger teams, you know, like Hendrick, for example, they would have specialists in-house that are full-time wrap technicians. The smaller teams would use suppliers in the, you know, in that the Charlotte, North Carolina area. Mm-hmm. For us, you know, we're based in Metro Detroit, and there's not a lot of racing infrastructure there, so it just costs us a pile of money.
Yeah, but you can find a lot of wrappers in Detroit.
Yeah, well, you know, it's
Motocat, it's not right? The same kind. Okay, sorry.
It is the same kind. And, you know, Eminem is from Detroit. Kid Rock is from Detroit. So, yeah.
All right. Well, we're hearing that music in the background, so we got to run. Brian, you have a safe trip. Hopefully we'll see you back in studio one of these days.
I hope to make it back this week, and we'll see you in studio next Saturday.
All right. Take care, everybody. Thank you, Carlos, for keeping the wheels on and avoiding the speed bumps or potholes. We got to go. This is Dave's Corner Garage. Drive safe, everyone.
This has been an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.